Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
That is the sound of great music. My family, Unstoppable, bringing us to 21 minutes after 12. Exactly time for us to start looking into dilemmas. So 20 minutes after 12 every Thursday, your dilemma moves over from Wednesday to Thursday. And we continue this afternoon looking at the topic that we started with last week. If you would remember, we were trying to figure out, you know, what is unevenly yoked? What does that look like? To marry or not to marry outside of the faith? And it's a big thing. It's a big thing in our time. And so Captain Deboho August joins us for that conversation all the way to 1 o'clock. On the other side of 1 o'clock, you know how it is. We're migrating all the way from Wednesday. Dr. Lucas Moloi, my family, and we continue today looking at market access and looking at gatekeeping in the marketplace. What is the role of gatekeeping, and is gatekeeping necessary, and how do we respond to gatekeeping, and how should industries and sectors actually manage gatekeeping so that, we try and curb this thing of people being cut out, the lack of access, and curb some really unethical practices, you know, that are sometimes within the bounds of the law, but they are unethical anyway, you know. So we want to have a look at that. And that's the conversation coming up on the other side of 1 o'clock. And super exciting stuff, my family, joyous celebration in partnership with Radio Pulpit. At 1:30, or just on the other side of 1:30, we catch up with event organizer Kaya Sibanyoni, who joins us to tell us more about what it is that you can expect ahead of the incredible live recording of Joyous Celebration. I think it's chapter. Oh no, let me not do that to myself. I completely refuse. Anyway, so that conversation is coming up on the other side of 1:30. And exciting stuff. So after the good news bulletin at 2 o'clock, we're going to be looking at some... It's like a version of understanding the world through the eyes of creation, through the eyes of science, through the eyes of things, you know. So here's where the idea started off. Let me just share, you know, how my ideation process goes. So here's where the idea started off. Do you remember those Chappies rappers? Of course you do. I know you do. I know you remember those Chappies rappers. So they used to have all these facts. Did you know the Eiffel Tower was established in da 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 da? Yeah. That's exactly what we're coming up with. And so we're going to be looking at all sorts of facts. We're going to be looking at scripture, you know, the origination of things. We're going to be looking at the why behind things, you know. How did the steam train, how does that work? All of that facts to keep us, my family, in touch with inventions around us. So if you have any really, really powerful, any really, really interesting fact, a fun fact that you'd like to share with us, we'd like to collate those and share with the family on the other side of 2 o'clock. So please do so on 082-657-2729. And of course, we close off our time together with the one and only, Pastor VTJ. Yeah, I can just literally hear in my head, right? I can hear a noise. Yeah, Pastor VTJ Masagona. My family shares the word of God on the other side of 2 o'clock this afternoon. So that's your heart to heart on a Thursday. Taking a quick break and coming back with Captain Deboho August. The dilemma is still on the table. And if you are a pastor, if you are an elder, if you've been in this situation, Gogo Jean, this is where you come through. This is where you come through. Let's hear it from you, my family. We're going to be sharing some of the voice notes that came through last week, especially one from Unatim Doninji, who was giving his view on the matter straight after this break.
Hlala ulalele umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla. Thola i-app yethu ku-App Store noma ku-Play Store. Futhi ungavakashela uradiopulpit.co.za.
Are you starting a business or taking it to the next level? Then it's time to pitch your business. After an exceptional Pitch Your Business competition in 2023, we're doing it again. Together, I Am Youth, Radio Pulpit, and Northwest University's Beehive Enterprise Development Center and TBN in Africa are hosting the second Pitch Your Business competition. Receive vital business training online. total marketing exposure to the value of 1 million rand is up for grabs, as well as an in-depth mentorship by the university. To register, complete the registration form on imyouth.co.za or radiopulpit.co.za. Register now. Registration closes on the 30th of June 2024 at midnight. T's and C's apply.
Right, my family. So, 26 after 12, that is your time. Captain Teboho August joining us shortly on the line this afternoon. Here's the dilemma that is currently on the table that we are looking at and we want to investigate through the eyes of Scripture. Good morning, Sis Ayanda and family. I am a born-again child of God. I am a pastor's daughter, PK. Yeah, hey, I'm a PK. Yeah, nah. I am in my late 30s. Let me just take a pause. So I'm in my late 30s and would love to settle down. I met a lovely man while traveling on a work trip. We are from the same town. He is not born again, but not Antichrist. He's not Antichrist. He wants to marry me. I like him, but he's not born again. Ish, please help. Yeah. So that's the story. You know, that's the story. So let's consider the facts. And before that, let's just welcome Captain Teboho. Captain, good afternoon. And thank you so much again for your time. Welcome to Thursday.
Hello, Thursday. Hello to the radio listeners. Hello, South Africa. And yeah, thank you for having me again.
Fantastic. Now, let's consider the facts together as we do a quick recap. Fact number one, the sister is in her late 30s. So the late 30s, for those who may not know, they are a... Hey! Yeah! In your late 30s, right? Because, I mean, there's a lot of things happening biologically. You're actually going through changes. Your body's going through changes. And then there's obviously the facts, right? That biologically your clock is ticking. And then I think there's just the physiological pressure, you know, that you want to have some, like, you know, it's almost like you start asking yourself really pertinent, why am I here, but what am I leaving in this world? What is my contribution to my generation? If I don't have kids in my late 30s and I'm working and I'm, you know, and I'm leaving a legacy, what am I working for? You know, those questions that Abraham asked the Lord, but Lord, I see what you're doing and I agree with you, but why? Where's my heir? So that's the kind of mental sort of space that you find yourself in your late 30s. And I'm sharing these so that we can have compassion, my family, as we try and deal with this, right? Point number one. Number two, I am a pastor's daughter. Yo, I get pastor's daughter simply means and implies that I have to work, walk a certain journey. There's a straight, narrow path that is set before me. So as a Christian, the path is narrow because we're following Christ. But as a pastor's daughter, there are social expectations. There is a standard. There's all sorts of, you know, sort of nuances around that. Okay. Number three. The fact that, you know, she's born again, and that this guy is quite nice. She likes him, Betuna. She likes him, huh, Captain? Captain, she likes him.
There's nothing wrong with liking each other. Hey, there's nothing wrong. We should love each other, not just like each other.
But Galoko, given given the broader consideration that we want to deal with, can we please also consider that part? You know that she likes him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we want to fix. Yeah, so I think we're going to have to do a bit of tweaking on the telephone line. And if nothing works, let's try and see if we can actually get that working or Captain on a different line, my family. It's 30 after 12. In the meantime, the dilemma is on the table. We need you to please help us. What are your thoughts around this matter? What should the lady do? Captain Teboho August joins us, my family, straight after we help you navigate your traffic. It's exactly 31 after 12. That is your time. time. When we come back, let's please hear from you, your voice notes. What are your thoughts? Already last week, we got some views that, girl, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go there, you know. But here's the big thing that we were struggling to come to terms or at least to an agreement with. And I mean, healthy debate is welcome. This is the time for it. It's the issue around unevenly yoked. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read that scripture. What does being unevenly yoked mean? And how far should this impact and affect our decisions towards whom we will marry? 0826572729. Your traffic is coming up next, my family.
Become active. Active in faith. 657 AM.
Hi, Ayanda, and hi to Captain. I think that's the maybe the first challenge we have is that biblically people should not marry for themselves. So if the two of you marry because, or you marry for yourselves, I believe you've already gone slightly off on a tangent. The idea is that when you marry because there's a godly purpose that you want to achieve. Now, the idea, I believe, of being unequally yoked with a non-believer is that it then creates two purposes, if I choose that as a hypothesis. The one purpose of God according to the one who believes, and then the other purpose according to the one that does not believe. So I think that's where the idea of being unequally yoked comes from. In other words, we come from two different, I would say, points of origin, which are irreconcilable. Hence the idea that it is unequally yoked is because it's unreconcilable. Which is different from two people who married without knowing God, and then the other one knows God. And then Paul, as he says, that there is then a chance that the one who knows God and continues in God's way will be able to bring the other one who doesn't know God. But as a deliberate start, no. Those people shouldn't marry. And as I've said, and I'll go back to the original point, we don't marry for love. There's nowhere, anywhere in the Bible where it suggests or you can draw an inference that people should marry for love. There's nothing like that. It doesn't say that. There's no way where it says that. So I wouldn't agree with Captain. I think I heard a little bit of what she was saying, but I wouldn't agree that then the two in the example should marry. Thank you so much.
Unathi Mdoninji, that is the voice of Unathi Mdoninji, author, my family, and he is an advocate for godly marriages. He is an author of Marriage, the Two Shall Become One. Find him, follow him. He has an incredible revelation when it comes to marriage. Captain, let me, yes, today I am silent. I want to hear from the wise. Hello, Captain. We are experiencing, in the meantime, my family, whilst I can tell that we're having sound issues, I don't know what the issue is with the sound. If somebody could just help with that, that would be absolutely awesome. In the meantime, 36 after 12. So what are your thoughts, my family? Let's hear from you this afternoon. I mean, what are we saying on this matter, really? What are we really saying on this matter? Because I think when we are silent on these issues, we allow a certain culture and a way of doing things to erupt on its own, you know, without us being able, you know, to control the way in which things unfold, right? That's the big thing for me. So we have to talk about it. If you are a pastor, if you're a leader, how have you dealt with it? I mean, I'm sure it's happened. I've seen it happen in my journey as a child of God, and I know that it does happen. So how do we actually deal with it, my family? 0826572729, that is the WhatsApp line. Send us your voice note, send us your messages. We want to hear from you. You did it and it didn't work. Why didn't it work? What did you see? What are all of those thoughts and all of those thoughts, my family, that we ought to consider. So here's a message coming through from Shalom J. As Christians, yo, we can still be unevenly yoked when both are unbelievers. Unevenly yoked. Wow. Come on. Shalom J. That's a serious curveball. Unevenly yoked is when the two animals under the yoke is when one of the two animals under the yoke is different from the other. Example, horse and ox, sheep and dog. But they could be under one yoke. Okay. I get it. Now, it's just to bring a bit more sort of clarity to the picture that Shalom J is painting. Shalom J says that, you know, a yoke is that sort of rod that is put on the neck of animals to help them carry better. You know, we've seen it in agriculture, right? So when the two animals are different but under the same yoke, that could be unevenly yoked. And the implication there, if I'm hearing you very well, is that I could be Christian, my partner could, I don't want to talk about partners, you know, as if we are encouraging, you know, dating or, you know, any kind of relationship outside of marriage. Yeah, personally, you know, I mean, no judgment, you know, to whatever is indeed the practice or the acceptable practice, but So that the point that Shalom J is making is that the two that intend on marrying my family, the two that are intent on marrying, right, have got to be the same. I always just wonder about what then about Esther and her heathen king. Yeah, no, this is a big topic about her heathen king husband. And don't forget about Hosea. No, come on, girl, come on. Hosea, that was different. God needed to show us an example of his love to us as an adulterous nation, adulterous people. So we understand Hosea. I don't think Hosea is quite, fitting, but I hear what you're saying. But the Esther and the heathen king husband. Okay, so what about Naomi's sons who married Moabite women? Just wondering, in the end, Elohim is sovereign. Wow. So Shalom J says, and let me correct you, when both are believers and one is a baby and other is more mature or have a different understanding of the gospel, that could account for being unevenly yoked. Right, my family. So look, what are your thoughts? We want to hear from you. 082-657-2729. Let's see if we can certainly get Captain then on a much better line. Hopefully it's now sorted. My wonderful Captain, we're coming through to you, my family. 20 minutes before the top of the hour. That is your time here on Radio Pulpit. Hot to hot is where you're at. My Captain, I'm hoping it's a much better line now. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi, how are you? I can hear you much better now.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. So this line is still not coming through better, but let's work with it because we don't have a lot to work with this afternoon. So all of the thoughts are on the table. Let me allow you the space, my captain, to comment.
Right. So we're just taking on from where we left off yesterday. Last week we actually kicked off the ageism part, that is the pressure that is coming from age. We know about Sarah and how far she was in terms of conceiving and how old she was. So that one is part. We know that God has the final say in terms of us rushing into things that he has not prepared for us as yet. So Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, right? And he gave himself for her. It doesn't say, love your equally yoked wife. It doesn't say, love your equally yoked husband. It doesn't say, love your God-fearing wife or husband. It doesn't say any of that. It says, love your wife. So if this person who wrote in is in love with this gentleman and they are ready to go, can you hear me?
No, we can hear you. The line is not the greatest, but I can see they're trying to work on it. So please do go ahead, ma'am. Please do go ahead.
All right. So it doesn't say love your equally yoked husband or wife. It says love your wife. If you were to turn it around, it would say love your wife or husband. So God respects order, right? So your inability to detect in an early stage of a relationship or a relationship that will graduate into a marriage, does not mean that you will know automatically that you are equally yoked. It depends on how anchored you are in God's word. If you know His ways, if you understand His ways, then you will hear that voice of God saying, "That way, it might be that He is not equally yoked with you as yet, but as the journey continues, this person will be on par with," because we're talking about partnership, will be on par with what God has for your life, for your marriage. So it's very easy, because once you understand that order and where that order is or is headed, then you will understand that where there's obedience, and with marriage comes obedience. And if you don't understand, we're trying very, very hard not to be judgmental of somebody who says, somebody's not God, as God-fearing as they are, or somebody's not as equally yoked as they would love them to be. By the way, the only judge here will be God. And if you are going to be together, then I don't think God will be telling you that this marriage may not work for you because this person is not equally yoked with you. By the way, opposites attract. It might be your responsibility as a wife or as a future wife to make sure that you encourage this person to be equally yoked like you are. And being a pastor's daughter also comes with its own challenges. Maybe there will be a topic for another day.
Sure.
But for now, we're concentrating on those people that have a plan to be in marriage. So in marriage, you just don't plan yourself. Because scripture is very, very, very vivid in terms of how it wants a marriage to be. It will also talk about submission. How are you going to be submitting to somebody who is not equally yoked to you? It's going to be very difficult if you decide to play in that sphere. So, as a wife, you need to recognize that there is a wife and there's a biblical wife. Which one are you? And if you recognize that these things are different, a wife and a biblical wife, then you will treat each other in a way that is godly. Because not only do you go into this union alone, you go into this union as three, you, the partner, and God. So if you pour into each other, if you're patient with each other, if you're kind with each other, and you understand that the biblical wife's number one role is to be submissive and understanding, you will not be worried about being equally yoked. It's not your job to yoke somebody to be equal as you. It is God's job to make sure that you are paired with somebody who will understand the mission of God and make sure that the vision of God goes through. So if you want, if you have a tick box with X, Y, Z, but you don't understand what a godly wife is supposed to do, then you will need the order. It is the God, it is the order of God for the home. It is not for you. It is God's command. And God's command is very clear. We should be able to understand that one might be outside of the church today, but because of you, you might hold their hand and they may own the church tomorrow.
Captain, this is, you see, I'm in Captain when the whole week has passed, Captain, and you're still coming back to Fred. You see, this is the part where my whole entire inner being starts frying. Let me ask the question, Captain. Why would I be, and I mean, you know, I like what Unathi says, right? I'm hearing where you're coming from. I like what Unathi says. Unathi says it's different, you know, when a couple meets with the Lord, gets to know the Lord, already married. Yeah, understand? I mean, that's totally different. But outside, you still have a choice to make. Why would you choose outside of your faith, outside of, you know, why would you choose somebody with whom you are not likely not going to be able to share the same vision when the things of God are concerned?
You see, if you're with a man and it is important for you to build with this man, whether you're married or not married as yet, God is still saying, it is upon me, this human being, all those human beings, whether yoked or not yoked, whether ungodly or godly, they all belong to me until the day they come to me and
we
say,
don't,
by the way, we have come home, Father God.
Captain, we don't dispute that. In fact, our heart well, let me, my heart, you know, it pounds, it pumps blood and hearts, you know, for everybody, especially those that may not necessarily be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not disputing that. All I'm saying, let me make an example, Captain. Let me make an example. Ne? So you are running your household, right? Apekaya, you know, on Sundays we wear white jerseys. Yandif, here at home.
Yeah.
We wear white jerseys, apekaya. The red jersey can do the same job generally that the white jersey does, but apekaya, we wear white jerseys. Why would I go and get a red jersey to wear on a Sunday when I have access to a white jersey that I can wear that is going to be fitting to the vision of the home? Why?
Remember the story of Saul. When God had an encounter with Saul, he was outside of the church. He was doing things to the church that were absolutely unacceptable. But what did that encounter do? It had him change his name. That is what happens to us as women when we enter into a godly marriage. Yes? We change our surname. So to me, I will not be able to measure how yoked you are until you are very close to me in terms of a partnership that works.
Right.
Do you understand? Until I've got that encounter that is intimate with you, then I would understand that. And that encounter, I'm not talking about Mujolo. I'm talking about a solid, godly marriage.
Mm.
Only once we are one, because when two meet, they become one, and God blesses or ordains that. And when you get to a stage where you understand that this assignment has hidden purposes, and one of the hidden purposes could be that this one will bring this one home. Where is home? Home is heaven. And what we know, that once you're born again, then you've got that passport to go to heaven, right? Depending on what you do with that passport, because you could have it stamped, you could think you're going to Canaan only to find that you're going to Tereshish. So we need to also not be descriptive of how God wants to use us, because as a Wanamuruti, as a PK, the other challenge for you could be that bring my flock home. Do not leave any of them outside of the yard.
Yeah, but Captain, bring my flock home and marry.
Obedience will never come in your color, in your shape, in your format. Obedience comes in different shapes and formats, because once I'm going to go back to the Ephesians that I read for you. It does not say love your God-fearing wife or husband. It says just love your wife or husband.
No, but that letter is written to believers. People who are in the Lord, people who have accepted Jesus Christ. In fact, people who are in some kind of sort of, in those days, the church, you know, in Ephesia, there were pockets and pockets of discipleship. We understand, and there was a modus, there was a way in which things were done. You're gone. So, okay. I hear you. Maybe let's entertain that, Captain, a little bit. Here's my question. Why would you not evangelize and join groups of evangelism in order to bring them home? Why would you want to marry specifically in order to try and reach out to somebody? Is there no fault in that? Is there no error in that? Especially to your point that says that only God knows how to change a person. So why would I marry in the hope that this person will change? What about me? You know, is what about me is needed so much that God can't do on his own?
When you marry, I know there are different kinds of celebrations constitute marriage. The ceremony itself is meant to bring families together. It's not just the two of us. So if I bring your family, and families are everything, my cousins, my father, I have never met, so everybody will meet and assembly here, because you and I are getting married, right? So it's a community that comes with you as a bride. It's a community that comes with you as a groom. We're not talking just the two people that are getting married. I'm
I'm black, so I don't know much about marriages that constitute of four people. Mm. I know marriages that constitute of 400 or 4,000 people.
Mm.
Because at that particular juncture, it could be that God will meet us right there where our families are coming together, and it's a community that spreads far and wide. And once the community that spreads far and wide understands that you and I are today equally yoked because of this marriage, then I have sort of evangelized the whole community, the whole family, the whole
Yeah, we're losing you there, Captain. I don't know if you're walking, but we're losing you. And in case, you know, while we allow the network to adjust, let's hear from you, my family, coming through on 0826572729. And just as we say that DD walks in, shout out to you, 53 minutes after 12, that is your time. Esty, let's hear from you, ma'am. Let's hear what Esty has to say, 0826572729.
Goeiemôre Radio Kansel. Ek wil asseblief vir my seun Herman Wepner sê baie baie geluk met sy verjaarsdag.
Ah. So that's a birthday message coming through this afternoon, my family, and we will certainly listen to that, and we are going to wish Esty's son a happy birthday. We're going to be coming through to that, Esty, on the other side of 2 o'clock. Danique and I once talked about this, says Shalom J. Unequally yoked, and she made a statement. Then why did Elohim yoke himself to a bride that is sinful? Okay, isn't he then? No, is but okay. So let me explain this, my family. So this is a conversation happening at home, and it's a learning environment. So the questions may seem a bit, you know, drastic, and they must be, especially coming from our children. But I'm sure the conversation ended with a teaching, a correct teaching. Then why did Elohim yoke himself to a bride that is sinful? Isn't he then unequally yoked? Just as you said with Hosea, yet he did covenant knowing that he is able to sustain this marriage. Would it not then also be possible when he requires from you to do the same for someone? Oh, Captain. I guess. No. First of all, can we please just fix something? No, mamela, Captain Galogo. We're processing. Can we fix something, ne? God can't be unevenly yoked. Look. Let me at this point admit that I have gotten to my cul-de-sac. I don't know where to go from here. No, seriously, I don't know where to go from here. And this needs serious theology. This needs serious theology.
Yeah.
So, in conclusion, Captain, let me try and conclude our conversation. And it doesn't look like we're going to conclude it. I think we need to coin this into a whole teaching and whole topic. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, maybe apologize also to our anonymous that we could not come to a conclusion. But here are the points on the table. Number one, please do consider that, you know, it is possible that, okay, according to you, Captain, that the Lord may use you in that marriage to draw not just the husband, but the husband and the family to the Lord. Okay? So I am then countering that by saying, no, that is the classic textbook definition of being unevenly yoked. Because what relationship, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, which perhaps is now a good time for us to open it, what relationship does the unbeliever have with the believer? What relationship is there? And if marriage is based purely on the basis of relationship, why would... So the one thing that we must admit is that if you decide that you want to marry outside, you know, an unbeliever, somebody who's not born again, I don't think, look, that's a choice thing. That's a free will thing. But for me, it is us saying, yes, it is okay. We understand, when a captain...
Let's read 1 Peter 3 from verse 1 to 6.
Okay.
And this is a scripture that I like. It. It's a very powerful scripture. Maybe you relate. And I really want to dedicate this to wives or people who are looking to be wives. And I want us to marinate in this for this coming
or
maybe days.
So
it says to be submissive and to be submissive to your husband. And it talks to this lady that wrote to us, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In order for you to be submissive to your husband, that even if some do not obey the word, equally yoked and equally yoked, they, without a word, they meaning the husband, they, without a word, may be warned by the conduct of you as the wife to say, by the way, don't forget the order of God. So who are you seeing this from? Without a word, without a word may be warned by your conduct that order needs to be maintained. That is God's command. It's not me.
But
so Peter says, Peter acknowledges that you could meet a stranger somewhere, but in your heart of hearts, you could bring them home and say, by the way, come and have supper with me tonight. That could lead to other things that could include love, could include like, and you might just find a word from that person, that stranger, that you did not know. And you might find yourself equally yoked just for that invitation into your home. You could find a word that could equally yoke you to God, not even to a partner, to God. And when you leave or when day breaks, you would soon understand that it took a stranger for me to understand that this thing that I've been struggling with for 3-4 years has come full circle right now. So partnership comes in different ways, in different shapes. And as long as we are human beings, there is a chance to change and to mend your way to become equally yoked with a partner that was ordained by God. There's a chance.
Hi, Captain Mdasekayajonga. We have to go to the news and we absolutely have to end it here today. I still do not agree. Betunana. I know, right? So that's healthy debate, right? And it's probably great that we are wrestling with this matter, until we get to a resolution. I see Pastor Boniwe has sent us a voice note, which we are going to play on the other side of 1 o'clock. But in the meantime, Captain, I'm uncomfortable leaving it as it is because we have to provide, some kind of clarity and some kind of conclusion. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So it's very specific. We can't even hide, from I like him, he's tall or she's pretty. We can't hide unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And the implication there is too deep for us to ignore. Shall we please, maybe Captain, let's bring Abefundisi Mdasekhaya next week. Hi, let's bring the clergy. You and I have tried. Let's bring the theologians, let's bring the pastors, and let's put this to rest next week. Yeah,
I can't wait.
We love you so much. You're such a blessing. Where do we connect with you, Captain?
I am on all social platforms. You will find me as Deborah Pure Finesse August on Facebook. That is the same username that I use for my Instagram. You will also find me on Twitter or X. I am at Lady Taps. And call me. My book is available, No Longer Wearing the Victim Badge. Let's talk and, let's get out of future reading.
Fantastic. Absolutely appreciate you, ma'am. All the best for the rest of this month, my family. A minute going on to two. After one, we're crossing over now to the news.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.